This recording is a compilation of audio taken from calendar year 2011 for the Best Anchor category. The first story relates to two Iraqi nationals who were arrested on federal terrorism charges in our town. Court documents clearly outline details about how the two Iraqi nationals tried to send money, machine guns, plastic explosives, and rocket-propelled grenades to what they thought was al-Qaeda in Iraq. But what is less clear is how the two men managed to get into the United States and why they chose to live in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Wad Ramadan Al-Wan and Mohanad Sharif Hamadi are facing life in prison if they're convicted of the 23 federal counts they're facing. Prosecutors say while he lived in Kentucky, Al-Wan tried to teach an undercover agent how to build IEDs, thinking the information would be used against American troops in Iraq. For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin. The Department of Justice says 30-year-old Wad Ramadan Al-Wan and 23-year-old Mohanad Sharif Hamadi have been charged in a 23-count indictment. Federal authorities say Al-Wan had boasted to a confidential human source that he had used improvised explosive devices against American troops for several years in Iraq, and the FBI has reportedly been able to identify two latent fingerprints belonging to Al-Wan on an unexploded IED found in Iraq. U.S. Attorney David J. Hale.
These charges relate to conduct that occurred in Iraq and also conduct in the United States regarding their attempt or conspiracy to aid al-Qaeda in Iraq. It's important for all Kentuckians to understand that any terrorist or would-be terrorist who thinks that they're going to avoid detection by seeking to live in a small city as opposed to a major metropolitan city, that they would be mistaken in that approach because they're going to face the same determined, well-prepared joint terrorism task force in the Western District of Kentucky that they would face in any major metropolitan city.
Al-Wan and Hamadi allegedly delivered money and weapons under the mistaken belief that the items would be sent to al-Qaeda in Iraq. The weapons, according to authorities, included sniper rifles, plastic explosives, and two Stinger missiles. Prosecutors say Al-Wan also tried to supply machine guns and rocket-propelled grenade launchers to terrorists. None of those weapons were actually delivered, but instead were carefully controlled by law enforcement as part of the undercover operation. Betsy Fries is a special agent in charge of the FBI Louisville division. She says she was very pleased with the collaborative effort that led to the arrests.
For the Joint Terrorism Task Force, collectively, you know, the Kentucky State Police, Rodney Brewer, has provided significant resources. Chief Doug Hawkins has been a partner in this case from the beginning all the way down to during the arrest. He provided the police department there as a facility for us to stage and actually effect the as a command post back there. John Aubrey, who's the sheriff of Jefferson County, Chief White with LMPD, the U.S. Marshals Service here locally in Louisville, it's really been a collaborative effort.
U.S. Attorney Hale says it's very important for the community to understand that this is not an indictment against a particular religious community or religion, but instead it's an indictment that charges two individuals with federal terrorism offenses.
Dan, we absolutely want to make clear that the Department of Justice in this office prioritizes the investigation and prosecution of civil rights offenses. And we take very seriously any reports that an individual or group is targeted because of their ethnicity or their faith background.
Authorities told WKU Public Radio that at this point it's unclear why the two suspects chose to reside in the Bowling Green area. A June 8th detention hearing has been established in the case. That detention hearing will take place in Bowling Green. Reporting for WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin. And, of course, election night coverage.
Fayette County was one of the first counties to report, and we've had some reports that the turnout there was larger than in some other parts of the state, and that could have put Casey Crosby a little closer at this point than had Fayette County not been so quick to issue their returns. But we'll certainly be watching that one. James Comer, at this point, appearing to be the only Republican with a significant chance of pulling out a good evening tonight. James Comer, of course, the candidate for agriculture commissioner running against Democrat Bob Farmer. I might mention quickly, Kevin, Hardin County this year was, or this election, was one of the first to start reporting returns.
And that's not normal.
No, we were in the WKU Public Radio newsroom. We were glad to see that. And it's interesting, the vote totals have doubled, but the percentages have changed very little. So Hardin County, really kind of a mirror image of the state, if you will, with Steve Beshear with a healthy lead, 60% to 33% over David Williams. Allison Lundergan Grimes, 63% to 36% over Bill Johnson. Todd Peepool trailing Jack Conway, 56% to 43% in Hardin County. And as you mentioned, Kevin Adam Edelin with a strong lead over John Kemper statewide and also in Hardin County. James Comer, again, in Hardin County, doing quite well in comparison to the rest of his ticket. James Comer was 63% to 37% lead in Hardin County at this point.
And anchoring a special report on the 10th anniversary of the September 11th terrorism attacks in New York, this is a discussion with the leader of a search dog team from our area that had gone to Ground Zero to help find human remains.
And we kind of worked some of that Kevlar material from those gloves into just dog boots kind of deals. Didn't work out as well as we had thought. So basically we were deconning our dogs every night on the ship, throwing our clothes away. Those dogs had never had so many baths in their lives. We're talking 10 years. They were all 5 to 8 years old. They've all passed away now.
Moody says that experience some 10 years ago was very difficult for the Barron River Area Search Dog Association, but she believes the group did accomplish some good for the families of victims.
Our team, I know that those big white buckets that we sent to that trailer with pieces of people were closure to some family, and that was the important thing.
Casey Moody was mission coordinator for the Barron River Area Search Dog Association team that helped to identify some of the victims from the September 11th terror attacks in New York. For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin. The anchoring segments submitted for your consideration aired in May, June, September, and November of 2011.